Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Most people love mysteries. There's something about a mystery that engages us and holds our attention. And maybe you've even thought, if I could just read the Bible like I read a good mystery. Well, actually, the Bible is the top mystery in the universe. Listen to the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 3, that by revelation the mystery was made known to me, as I have written previously in brief, by which in reading it you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in spirit. Francis Ball has joined us today as we look at the mystery of God, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Francis, good to have you back.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here and anticipate getting into this mystery that you mentioned.
Yeah, most of the time we don't think of the Bible as a mystery, do we, Francis?
Not usually. We usually refer to it as a revelation, but we never thought that much that it's a revelation of a mystery. And that mystery is what's so great.
It really is. Yesterday we got into this great mystery, and one of the things we saw was that it's a mystery no longer hidden, and in fact, it's available. Of course, we just read verse 5 in chapter 3. It talks about it being first revealed to the holy apostles and prophets, but now it's beyond just even the holy apostles and prophets. It's available to all of us, isn't it?
And that's the marvel of this whole thing, that Paul said this mystery was made known to him to give to us. He said, which has shown to me for you.
Yeah, he even in chapter 3 goes on to say that, almost implying that it was his job to enlighten all that they may see what is the economy of this mystery, which throughout the ages has been hidden in God who created all things. So even ties it back to creation. The goal of God in creation had something to do with this mystery, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Very much to do with this mystery. And we have before us today a person, that is the Apostle Paul, in his writings, who has had this mystery unfolded to him and had been given to him as the apostles and prophets. It was revealed to them in spirit. So yes, this is a key to our understanding this mystery.
Well, to give our listeners a little idea of where we're going today, in this same context, almost in the same breath, Paul incorporates into this matter of the unveiling of the mystery this unique phrase that's in verse 8, when he says, to me, less than the least of all saints, was this grace given to announce to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. And in order that now, to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenlies, the multifarious wisdom of God might be made known through the church, according to the eternal purpose which he made in Christ Jesus our Lord. As he would speak about the mystery, he almost, as we'll hear in, I think, Witness Lee's speaking today, almost uncontrollably, Paul speaks these unsearchable riches of Christ.
That's right. He even may start out with another intention to say something about his own experience, but he can't stay away from the fact that he's filled up with these riches that are in Christ, these riches that we're going to discover some today.
And the Bible says they're unsearchable, and one of the ways the Bible reveals these unsearchable riches, Francis, as you know, is through types, shadows, and figures. We've talked of these a bit before in other programs and other books of the Bible that we've covered in our life study. But I think today we'll have a very good example of how the Bible uses these types and figures and shadows to bring the unsearchable riches of Christ into our grasp.
It really is marvelous that so much of what is natural has been utilized for spiritual education, you might say. But we still cannot see this mystery just by our natural understanding. We have to have a spiritual revelation, and this is available not only to the apostles and prophets, but now it's available to all who would just exercise their spirit to understand this mystery.
So we would just pray together, Francis. Lord, we exercise our spirit to open our being.
Amen.
To receive your riches today.
Amen.
Let's join Witness Lee.
The Apostle Paul told us the revelation given to the apostles and the prophets concerning Christ for the church. His revelation of Christ is mainly concerning the riches, even the unsearchable riches of Christ. For us to be an apostle and a prophet, we need to know the unsearchable riches of Christ. And this is for the producing of the church to be the fullness of Christ. Number one, the riches of Christ are depicted in types. Have you ever realized in Genesis 1 that earth was a type of Christ? And I cannot tell you how many types of Christ in Genesis chapter 1. I just tell you a few. The light there is a type of Christ. The earth there is a type of Christ. And the sun, the morning star. And among the trees, you know, in Genesis 1, a lot of trees. I tell you, at least you can mention two trees. First of all, the vine tree, right? This here in John 15. And you have the apple tree in Song of Songs. Not only the trees, have you realized? Even the herbs. At the Passover, you know, the children of Israel, they ate not only the lamb, they also ate the unleavened bread of wheat. So wheat, you see, is a type of Christ. And also they ate bitter herbs. And the bitter herb is also a type of Christ. The Bible is profound. The Bible is too deep. Unless you get into the depth, you couldn't see the riches. And you have the type of the animal. You know, some animals are types of Christ. A lamb is a type of Christ. And you have a lion, a type of Christ. Right? And you have also a dove. Right? And you have also a big eagle, a type of Christ. All these are types of Christ.
Francis, we, several years ago when we began these broadcasts, I think maybe the second book we did was The Life Study of Genesis. And of course, at that time, we had a lot of opportunity to see many of these types, some he just referred to. Many things presented right from the beginning of Scripture that we find out later that are types of Christ. I made note of a verse in the New Testament. It says, this is in Romans 5. It seems off point, but I think it brings us back to where we're going here. In chapter 5, verse 14 in Romans, "But death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's transgression, who is a type of him who was to come." So this matter of using other elements from Scripture as a type is not something that has been invented in this ministry, has it?
No, not at all. I think we find this throughout the Bible. The more we search into the riches of Christ, we'll see later on in this broadcast, every positive thing in the universe is a type of Christ. So I think we're in for a real treat to see some riches unfolded here today that maybe we never even realized a real picture of Christ.
Let's go back and just talk about a couple of the ones that he mentioned here, just to review. Of course, we have a reference in John chapter 1 right away, "Behold the Lamb of God." Mm-hmm. How about that as a type?
That is a type, and we see that only in the New Testament. John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," in John chapter 1.
Right.
So this is true of other aspects too. And he mentioned at the beginning that such things as light and the sun, the stars,
the earth,
the trees, the earth, all these things are pictures of Christ, all types of Christ. There's a difference between the types and the shadows, as we'll see. As a matter of fact, it would be a very interesting study to go through and pick out every type of Christ there is in the Old Testament.
Yeah, referring to this, the one of the earth, of course, all of these early ones that you just enumerated from Genesis, the light and the sun, but the dry land, of course, appeared on the third day. A clear reference there, isn't it, to Christ?
Yes, because that's a reference of his coming out of death. His resurrection is indicated here.
Of course, in all of the printed life study messages, all of these types are developed in a very full and complete way. So any of our listeners who are maybe intrigued by this approach to studying Scripture and may have not been exposed to it before could contact us. We'd love to, you know, point them in the direction of those life study messages where all of these things are really developed and brought out, because it's a real key in unlocking the Bible and particularly the Old Testament, isn't it?
You can see from this how unsearchably rich Christ is. So many Christians approach the Bible as unreachable searches, but it's actually unsearchable riches.
I'm going to chew on that one as we get back into Witness Lee, Francis. That's, I think, pretty accurate, isn't it? Maybe too accurate.
I'm afraid so.
You mentioned there's a difference between, he's used these terms, type, shadow, and even a third term, figure. In Hebrews 10:1, it says, "For the law having a shadow of the good things to come." Colossians also uses this term, talking about the new moon and the Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body or the substance is of Christ. And then in Hebrews 11, another term shows up, another one that we've just referred to. It says, "Counting that God was able to raise men even from the dead, from which also he received him back in figure," him there referring to Isaac in the context. So we have types, we have shadows, and we have figures, all important in discovering and having these unsearchable riches of Christ revealed to us, aren't they?
If you consider this in that light and you go to find out all the types, they're not so difficult as the shadows and the figures, you might say, because these mainly refer to rituals and practices in the Old Testament which portray Christ, such as the Sabbath day, the new moon, and some of the things that you mentioned. Figures refer to a situation that presents a certain picture, such as the wandering of the children of Israel, things like this. Those are pictures, or those are figures that we see in the Old Testament that really depict Christ for the church. And of course, Brother Lee will be developing these very things of the shadows, the figures, the types, as we go on to show us what is the fulfillment also.
Then let's go to him right now.
Then you have shadows, and you have also figures. What is the difference between the types and shadows? Colossians chapter 2. You see, all the new moon and the holidays, Sabbath, all these things are shadows. All the laws, the ordinances, ceremonies, you see, in the Old Testament time. And these things are shadows. But Aaron was not a shadow. Aaron was a type. Moses was a type. You see, you cannot say Sabbath was not a rest. It was a rest. But that rest is not so real. It was a shadow of the real rest. Am I right? And the law, you should not say that was not a law. But the law was a shadow of Christ being the real explanation, definition, and testimony of God. Right? Now, what is the difference between types and figures? The types always referring to a person, a certain item of things. For instance, the tabernacle was a type of Christ. The figure mostly refers to a situation that gives us a picture, a view. For instance, the children of Israel wandering through the wilderness. That was a figure assuring us what the Christian life today is. The Christian life today, according to our experience, is just a wandering life, like what is depicted there in the journey of the children of Israel. The lamb at the Passover was a type, but the Passover itself was a figure. I tell you, all this picture is a figure of Christ. Christ is too rich. He is so rich to such extent he needs not only the types, not only the shadows, but also the figures. In the Old Testament, you have so many types, numberless types. And you have also the shadows. And you have also the figures of Christ. All these are just descriptions, explanations, definitions, depicting what Christ is.
Francis, I recall when we were in some of the Old Testament life studies, Deuteronomy and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, all these books, we saw item after item of the types and shadows. And especially when we were in Deuteronomy, which we completed not too long ago, we got into this portion called the all-inclusive Christ. And there we saw that all of the good land and all of its aspects really were the pictures that we needed to see the very Christ that is presented to us, the New Testament believers. So in a sense, what we just had was a bit of a how to study the Bible presentation by Witness Lee, but we really need this help and instruction, don't we?
We really do, because sometimes we labor so hard to try to figure out the meaning of certain things when they are really made quite clear to us by the types or the shadows or the prophecies of the Old Testament open up to us, but we never saw through them. We only saw the thing itself, and we used our natural thoughts and our natural mentality and our own limited experience to try to see how this would fit. But it really takes some exercise of the Spirit for us to really see what the Lord is talking about in all these pictures that we have in the Old Testament. Even Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, "For who among men knows the things of man, except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the same way, the things of God no one knows except the spirit of God. For we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we may know the things which have been given graciously given to us by God, which things also we speak in words taught not by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things with spiritual words. But a soulish man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and he is not able to know them because they are spiritually discerned." So the main thing, I think, in this whole matter of types, shadows, and figures, is that we realize spiritual realities are brought out by the use of physical and material means.
But whether those physical material items really take on any genuine meaning to us is all a matter of the exercise of the Spirit, isn't it?
That's right, because these are spiritual terms, and we're looking into a spiritual mystery.
Francis, in the third section, we're coming back to now something we mentioned right at the beginning, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and in a sense comparing that to Paul's utterance in chapter 1. And many people may assume these things to be the same. In chapter 1, he talks about the church in verse 23 saying, "which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all." What's the difference between the riches and the fullness? We're about to find out. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
The riches of Christ are for producing the church. All these riches are for one purpose, to produce the church. The church was produced not by teaching, not by forming, not by organizing, but by what? By the divine dispensation of Christ into the believers. The more dispensation of Christ into all of us, I tell you, the more life we have, the more uplifted church we have. It all depends upon the divine dispensation of Christ. This is why I love the ministry that ministers Christ to others. We just experience and enjoy the very Christ who is dispensed into us. Then we are a part, a good part of the proper church life. I must ask you to pay your full attention to the difference between the riches of Christ and the fullness of Christ. In the same book, you do have these two terms. In chapter 3, you have the riches of Christ. In chapter 1, you have the fullness of Christ. All the rich items of Christ are the riches of Christ. Still, they are not the fullness of Christ until we eat them, we enjoy them, we assimilate all the riches of Christ into our being. Then we all become the body of Christ. And this body of Christ is not the riches of Christ, but the fullness of Christ. Is this clear? This is the fullness of Christ expressing Christ. Any fullness is always the expressing. So the body of Christ is constituted with all the riches of Christ enjoyed and assimilated by us. Then the body is here. The body is the result, is the issuing of the enjoyment of all the riches of Christ. So the body is the fullness, is the expression of Christ.
Francis, I won't allow you to talk about anything here that you were touched by, but he did make a comment early on that I thought was worth coming back to quickly, and he talked about how much he loved the real ministry, which is to minister Christ. There's a lot of funny ideas about what a ministry is, but this is really the ministry, isn't it?
That is the truth. The real ministry, as he has pointed out and as he practiced, is the dispensing of what Christ is into people. Not teachings, not organizing, but just dispensing what Christ is into people. And that's done by the ministry. And that ministry has been not only committed to the Apostle Paul and the apostles and the prophets, but now it's committed to all of us. It's not just the apostles and prophets like they're on some higher level or some kind of extra person. No, they are just the leading ones that receive revelation and impart it into others, that they may receive it and impart it into others. And so this has been going on now for centuries. And we're really short in these days of realizing among all of us believers that each one of us is a real minister, and we should be imparting Christ into others. Christ is so rich, we could never exhaust him. So we just need to be those who are receiving this revelation and imparting it into others. And that means that we should be speaking Christ himself.
Francis, this is a view of the ministry that we're going to spend more time on in coming messages, especially in Ephesians, because it's critical. As you just pointed out, this is not relegated and left just to this group, the holy apostles and prophets, whoever those are among us. This really needs to be the function of every member, doesn't it? This enjoyment, as he said, this eating of the rich Christ, the assimilating of the rich Christ, and then the sharing of this rich Christ. This is for every member in the body.
I think that's one of the blessings of having a church life where we have a lot of mutuality. That means many can minister Christ to one another and enjoying the riches of Christ. And the more we enjoy those riches, the more we are produced as the church.
Wow. Well, that's a good kind of look ahead to where we're going, as I said, in future portions of this live study of Ephesians. It's a real key factor, as we'll find out in the days ahead. As always, appreciate your being here and your help on today's program, and keep enjoying the riches, Francis.
Amen. I intend to.
We hope you are as well. They're contained in printed form in a great measure in these printed life study volumes that we offer. It is a 3-volume set that includes all of the messages for Ephesians. We'll return tomorrow with another life study from this life study of Ephesians, and we hope you'll join us for that. For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.